The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
You are listening to The Overwhelmed Brain. Today's episode is brought to you by the great-tasting, health-conscious, functional tea that provides benefits within minutes. Visit earthsbrew.com and use promo code BRAIN10, that's BRAIN10, for 10% off your order today.
I love tea!
Are you annoyed by affirmations? Are you tired of that same old, rehashed, personal growth advice that all seems to boil down to, think positively and all your problems will go away? If affirmations feel like lies and positive thinking feels like denial, then I want you to get ready. The Overwhelmed Brain is here to help you create the life you want now. Hello, this is Paul Coliani, personal empowerment coach and host of The Overwhelmed Brain. This is the personal growth show and the emotional intelligence show for the critical thinker. On every episode, we'll talk about practical down-to-earth steps to help you improve your mood and keep you sane in this powerful journey we call life. I want to help you bridge the gap between your emotions and reason, causing you to discover why you do the things you do and what you can do to reach higher levels of happiness and lower levels of stress and overwhelm. Everything I talk about on this show should not be mistaken for actual medical advice or treatment and is intended to be for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your medical treatment. What you'll find here is an increase in your emotional intelligence. I think I already said that. A strengthening of your self-worth and self-esteem, the motivation to be your authentic self, and the forward momentum to help you learn, heal, grow, and evolve. All right, I talk about honoring boundaries a lot on this show. I started honoring my boundaries, quite a few years ago. Seven years? Well, as of this recording, about 6 years ago. And it really started when I had to face a very toxic family member. And I was just telling a client this last night where when I was in New Hampshire and I was living with my mom and my stepfather, who left my mom, and she was very grateful that he left, showed up at the door. And the person that I used to be would have submitted and said, okay, come on in. I don't want to make any trouble. This is what would happen in my head. I would say things to myself like, I don't want to deal with his toxic behavior. And especially, and this is what always happens when we honor our boundaries, the thought that comes up is, I don't know what will happen if I do this. Or another thought will be, I don't want to deal with the consequences of the decision I'm about to make or the decision that I want to make. I mean, that's what happens, is that we have these thoughts come up. And then instead of doing what we know that we should do, or at least believe the right, quote, right thing to do is, we instead listen to the thoughts that paint a picture of some imagined future. And then we follow that fake news. I have an opportunity to use that term and I'll probably never use it again, but that's what it feels like to me. It feels like we're receiving fake news from the future because we start painting this picture of consequences in our head and we think, well, if I do this, I'm going to have these following consequences occur. And then, of course, all of these thoughts come into our head in nanoseconds. So at lightning speed, we're getting all this data that we're making up. and we're making decisions based on made up data. Yes, it's an educated guess. Yes, we can say, well, I've seen that person behave this way before. So when I do something that honors myself, they'll probably behave that way again. You know, I'm going to take a little different angle on this than I normally do and say this. When you have thoughts of the future, when this fake news comes down the line from your imagination, then what I want you to do is say, okay, here's this fake news coming in. Here's this made up stuff that I believe will happen. And I want you to look at that, you know, visualize whatever it is that's going to happen, or imagine what the person would say or do. And when these thoughts come up, I want you to say, so what? So what if that comes true? That might be hard. And again, my caveat is always don't do this with physically violent people. Don't do this with physically aggressive people. The physical stuff is stuff you want to avoid. So you just don't get into that kind of confrontation with a physically violent person. But if the person does not have a history of physical violence or aggression, then almost every other thought that comes up, almost any other fake news that comes your way in your imagination, when you're thinking about the consequences of honoring your boundaries, I just want you to say, so what? So this is what I did, similarly, when I was facing my stepfather who wanted to come into my mom's house. And for the first time ever, I had to confront him and make the decision. Do I honor myself and do I honor my mom? Do I stand up to him for the first time in my life and take a chance? Because that's what it feels like. I'm taking a chance because I've never done it before. I'm stepping off the cliff and hoping there's a landing. It's sort of like if you've not seen the Indiana Jones movie, I think it's called The Last Crusade or something, where he steps off the cliff and his faith has to carry him across the chasm. And I won't tell you what happens, but let's just say that we all know Indiana Jones is still alive, according to the movies, and he didn't die. And that's kind of what honoring your boundaries is stepping into that chasm and having faith that there's a landing. I kind of like that analogy, because there's always a landing. And I like the idea of saying, so what? So what? The reason I like that idea is because it interrupts the old pattern. The old pattern for you might be, oh, I really want to honor my boundaries right now. But if I do, I know he's going to get mad, or I know she's going to say this, or I know he's going to do that, or I know she's going to leave and go to her mom's house. You know, all these thoughts come up. We believe we know what will happen. And yes, sometimes we're right. Sometimes what we believe will happen happens. But so what? That's a hard pill to swallow, I know. But I'm not trying to help you feel worse. I'm trying to change the pattern that is ingrained, that might be ingrained in you. Because if there's an old pattern of, oh my God, it's time to honor my boundaries. Here I am. Here's the situation. Well, I don't want to do it because of XYZ, all these results, all this fake news. But if you just go, okay, I'm about to honor my boundaries and this might happen, and you go, well, so what? And there's a pause after the so what. And I want you to pause after the so what. I want you to go, so what? That pause. Because when it interrupts your pattern, your brain typically doesn't know where to go next. It might go, what? What do you mean, so what? What do you mean? This is important. I might get emotionally wounded. So what? I mean, that's kind of where you eventually go after the pause. So I just want you to practice that. In fact, try it right now. You ready? Try this right now. You don't have to do it with someone else. I want you to imagine yourself in a situation where you have an opportunity to honor yourself. Think of something that happened a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, or something that you know will happen very soon. When she gets home, when he gets home, when I have to deal with this person at work, when I have to deal with this person over there, over here, wherever. And imagine the scenario come up where you have an opportunity to honor your boundaries And if you want a basic definition of that, it is coming to a place of allowing what you will accept into your life and disallowing what you won't accept into your life. You come to that place and you go, I know what I'll accept in my life and I know what I won't accept in my life. And then standing up for yourself and making that clear to anyone that might dishonor that. That's really what honoring your boundaries is all about. You get to a point where you go, I want to make it clear that this is acceptable or this is not acceptable. I mean, you probably wouldn't say this is acceptable because you wouldn't say anything. It would just be. But if it wasn't acceptable and you didn't say anything, then it would cross your boundaries. And unless you said or did something, the other person wouldn't know. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine a scenario where you have an opportunity to honor your boundaries. And let's just say that you're in that place and with someone that you haven't done it with before. If you've done this with someone before and it's easy and you have no problem doing that, that's not the right scenario that I want you to imagine. Something that you know you have trouble honoring yourself in. For me, I can imagine the past when I used to be a people pleaser. When I was a people pleaser, and for example, my boss would come up and say, hey, I need you to work the weekend. And he had asked me a million times before, and I always said yes because I was afraid of losing my job. So I wanted to make sure that everyone was pleased with my performance and so on and so on. So I would always say yes without issue. But what would happen if I said no? So I want you to put yourself in that type of situation. Are you there? Maybe you were already there 5 minutes ago when I started this process. But once you're there, if you're not, pause and come back. But once you're there, now you have an opportunity to honor yourself. And now I want you to take a moment and imagine all the stuff you believe will happen. So you may need to pause this again, but I'll give you some seconds of silence here. Just imagine all the stuff that you believe will happen if you honor your boundaries. It should come to your mind pretty quickly. All right, again, if you need more time, just pause. Now I want you to connect with the emotions inside. What are you feeling? Is there any fear? Is there any anxiety? Is there anything that is starting up in you when you're in this moment where you have an opportunity to honor yourself, but in the past you normally haven't? Or if you're thinking of a past event, then think about it happening again and you have the opportunity to honor yourself. What emotions are coming up for you? Because I'm sure there's some. If you're having trouble connecting with the emotions, that's okay too. But what I want you to do is just go through this scenario. The scenario is unfolding and you're having certain thoughts and feelings come up. And one of those thoughts is, if I honor myself, then X, Y, Z will happen. Then everything I just thought of will happen. And at that moment, I want you to say, yeah, but so what? And tell me what that does to you inside. When I try this on, it changes me. It changes my state. So what? And if that doesn't really change your state, go the extra mile and say, who cares? This is a little unusual. But what I'm trying to do is not necessarily say that it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to interrupt your pattern. If you go into that state, if you go into a negative state, so what? So what this does is, like I said, interrupt your pattern. And we typically use a phrase or a question like that when it's no big deal. So when you say it, it tells your brain it's no big deal. I'm not saying that this is a resolution. This will resolve everything and you can honor your boundaries from this point on, no problem. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that by introducing this one step into the sequence of steps that you normally take to get to a place where you don't honor yourself, if you slip this one step in that sequence of neurons firing and feeling emotions and thoughts happening in your mind, if you slip that in, it'll interrupt the pattern. It should interrupt the pattern. So the scenario unfolds, you're starting to have thoughts, and you're thinking, oh no, this is happening and I have an opportunity to honor myself. But if I honor myself, this person might say or do this. So what? So I want you to play with that. I want you to come up with scenarios or do it in real time. What will happen from that? I don't know. For you, for everyone, it'll be different. And it also depends on how you use the term, so what? I don't know, maybe from a different country, the term so what doesn't mean the same thing as it does where I am in the U.S. Just think of a phrase that you might say that will put you in a different state. Like another one might be a piece of cake. Like some people might say, oh, that's a piece of cake. That's easy. No problem. When I try that on, it doesn't work for me. If I say piece of cake, I feel like, oh, that feels like I'm trying to hide what I really feel. But when I say, so what? It almost invalidates the bad feelings. Now, I'm not a big fan of invalidation. It's something that I don't practice and don't promote. I don't encourage you to invalidate yourself. But what if we were to utilize invalidation in a way that invalidated negative emotions that we feel? I'm going to invalidate this bad feeling I have. What? Wait a minute. You're going to invalidate my bad feelings? Yes, I'm going to diminish the importance of those bad feelings. Wait, that doesn't sound right. That sounds dysfunctional. Well, let's just try it. All right, well, I'm feeling scared that this person might behave this way when I honor myself. So what? Okay, well, what if they yell at me? So what? What if they fire me? What if they leave me? What if they think I'm a bad person? So what? Oh, I mean, where do you go with that? Like I said, when I try it on, I just feel like, I don't know, a release. So this may or may not work for you. I want you to give it a shot. And if those words don't work, you might have to come up with something yourself. But I like the idea of interrupting the pattern. And you have to do it pretty quickly. You have to say so what or something like that before it's too late. Like if you get to the point where, oh my God, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm afraid. And you allow that fake news to continue. And eventually you might get filled with anxiety or other things that happen to you in those moments. Just don't let it continue. Just say it anyway. Even if you aren't sure it's going to work or you don't know if you really mean it, it just do it. Try it. It's worth it. It's worth experimenting because that's what this is all about. Because experimenting helps us learn about ourselves. And it also takes us out of the box that we've built around our problems. I have this box and it contains the only way to behave. I will only behave this way in every situation where I have to honor myself, for example. Well, let's open that box up and slip this so what in there, close that box, and then what happens then? Or how about we keep the lid open and we add other resources in there to find out if there's other ways we can change this around? What would happen if I chose not to turn on the fake news channel and allow that imaginary information from the future to come in and guide me into a decision that is not empowering for me? What would happen if I did any of this? Try it out. If you have stellar results, let me know. We'll be right back. If you've been listening a while, you probably realize that I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Or maybe you think that there's absolutely no stress in my life whatsoever, because I just seem to have all the answers. The truth is, I have to deal with everyday life just like everyone else, just like you. And throughout my everyday life, I run into everyday stress. Like last week, I spent, and I kid you not, 5 hours with tech support while they remoted into my computer. I sat there for 5 hours answering questions and helping them test my email program. And after I thought it was over, they had to elevate my support status to level 2. So a few days went by, they looked at it again, and then I was elevated to level 3. At this time, my primary computer where I do all my work was being worked on itself. So when something like this happens, my life stops. I mean, sometimes that's a welcome vacation, but not when I have projects to do and a show to record and emails to reply to. Let's just say that even the most patient of us can get stressed. And when I get stressed, sometimes I don't want to think about how that stress is triggering old emotions or bringing up old unresolved issues. Sometimes I just want to relax without working so hard to get relaxed. That's when I discovered Earth's Brew. Earth's Brew makes a blend of green tea that it's not just a tea, it's actually a natural, healthy blend of plant-based ingredients that's formulated to calm the body while helping you maintain focus and mental clarity. Not only that, it's refreshing. In fact, I just had some this morning after a workout. You know, there was actually a lot of research put into this perfect blend that was specifically formulated to relieve stress and relax you. And the best part is you'll feel the calming and clarity-promoting effects, but it won't leave you groggy like some other types of supplemental drinks that I've had over the years. Now, let me just say this. I don't promote what I haven't tested or researched thoroughly myself. In fact, I had a company reach out to me about a year ago, and they sent me a product that I tried out, and I couldn't get behind it. They wanted to sponsor an episode of the show, but I couldn't accept them because I didn't believe in their product. I mean, I tried it, and it didn't work. With Earth's Brew, I tried it, and it works. I've proven it to myself. Now, as I mentioned, I'm a pretty calm and patient guy most of the time, but I will say that I can get stressed, especially when it's 2 a.m. on a Saturday night and my show still isn't done. At that moment, a nice cold glass of Earth's Brew is very welcome, and I can feel the calming and clarity-enhancing effects within minutes. I want you to try it. Go to earthsbrew.com and check it out for yourself. On the site, they tell you exactly what's in it, but let me share with you that it's a synergistic mix of the finest evidence-backed plant and herbal ingredients that quite literally creates a new paradigm of high-functioning, active calm, and boosted metabolism to help you gain mental clarity, relieve stress, and enhance your daily work or leisure experience alike. So that's a big mouthful. If it sounds intriguing, check them out. 15 calories, sugar-free, and nothing artificial. Compatible with a vegan, low-carb, and other conscious diets and lifestyles. This might be the most delicious, functional tea there is. Check out earthsbrew.com. And when you purchase, make sure to use the promo code word BRAIN10. That's BRAIN10, so that you get a discount off your order. Oh, and I almost forgot. Mix it in a couple inches of warm water first. Mix it really good, and then fill the cup with cold ice water. That gives me the best results, so I thought I'd share. Visit earthsbrew.com today. All right, welcome back. I'm going to read you a portion of an email that I received that has to do with a very tough situation that maybe a number of us have gone through ourselves. The situation is when you are with someone, you're dating someone, you're in a relationship with someone that has people in their life that you don't appreciate, that you don't like, that don't like you, that give you a hard time. Maybe they're your ex. For example, this letter writer, her ex is still around in her life because she's dating her ex's best friend, or at least someone in her current boyfriend's family. I don't know, it's a little convoluted in the letter. I'm not really sure how they're related, but she said that this person that she's calling Jake has someone in his family named someone she's calling Luke, and these are made up names, and they were good buddies at first, but then when she dated Luke and Jake was no longer in the picture, Jake wasn't happy to be without her, so he kept showing up, and to this day he keeps showing up. Now, Jake, her ex, was abusive. He was mentally, physically, and emotionally abusive. She ended up calling the police on him one time, and she finally got away from him. She still talked to him every now and then, but she didn't want anything to do with him anymore. However, because she now fell for Luke, and Luke knows Jake very well, and their families intermingle in some way, I'm not too sure how, Jake still comes around. He's still showing up in her life, and he's still, according to what she's saying, thinking about her and maybe even in love with her still. I'm not sure exactly, but what she's asking is that she feels like Jake has control of her life. He keeps showing up. She's not sure what to do. She says, no matter how hard I try, Jake is still there. I feel like I'll never get away from my past as long as I'm with Luke. But I don't want to leave a good relationship because Jake keeps showing up. And then there's another avenue to this where Luke's parents talked to Jake. So now Luke's parents knows everything that happened between Jake and her. And now she's got some, you know, maybe some privacy violation there, or she feels like her privacy has been violated. And maybe she should talk to Luke's parents about her feelings toward this. But a part of her feels like it's no use. She said, last time, his mom told me to move on, so why would it be any different this time? And she closes the letter by saying, I just feel really stuck on what to do and how to put a stop to this. I want my ex in my past. I don't want to be reminded of him, or even hear his name. Please give me some of your wisdom, she says. Thank you, and I'll call her Rachel. So Rachel, thank you for sharing this. This is a tough situation because you are with someone who has ties to people or a person that you don't want in your life. So there's some bad news here. The bad news, I'll just say it right up front, is that you will likely never get away from Jake. You will likely see him every now and then. He will likely show up every now and then. He may still have feelings for you, which means he'll probably show up more every now and then. That's the bad news. The bad news is that you won't be able to stop seeing this person. He sounds like he's part of Luke's family. They're close, or maybe not Luke and Jake, but Jake and his and Luke's parents. There's a scenario that you cannot stop because you can't stop anyone from liking other people or talking to other people. So that's just the facts. That's not going to stop. So the only way you're going to get through this, or at least one of the major ways you're going to get through this, is exactly what I was just talking about in the first segment, is honoring yourself and making it clear what you will accept and you won't accept. Knowing that he is a part of your boyfriend's life, even indirectly, you need to make it clear what is acceptable to you. And if Jake crosses those lines, you need to make it clear not to do it. Now, I don't know if or how you've been doing that up to now. I don't know if you've gone up to Jake and said, do not come around when I'm around. If you still have feelings for me, you'll have to get over it. I don't know if you've said that. I don't know if you feel capable of saying that. You are capable of saying that, but I don't know if you've gone in that direction yet or have found the courage to say something like that. You may not be able to say that to him. He may still be physically violent towards you. Remember what I said about physically violent people. You just have to avoid them at all costs. So you may not be able to stand up to him. It may be scary to do so, and rightfully so, because you might still be a dangerous person. So what do you do at this point? If you do stand up to him and he's dangerous, you need to do it with other people that you feel safe with. Hopefully Luke is that kind of person that you feel safe with him, and maybe you can just draw a firm line in the sand and say, can't cross this line when you interfere with my life. So this is one part of my answer, is that you need to make it clear. You can't just avoid and lock the doors and pull down the blinds and hope he goes away. You can't do that because he's not going to. He might, but you can't rely on that. You can't have faith that he's just going to stop appearing, stop showing up. You just have to be very clear every single time. Don't leave any inconsistencies or ambiguities when you tell him, sorry, no, it's over, no more. Do not contact me. Do not try to get a hold of me. You know, you can't tell him what to say to other people or what not to say to other people. You can't say, don't share our life together with other people. It just doesn't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work. He's going to tell whoever he's going to tell whatever he wants to tell. So you can't control him in that respect, even though you might want to. But the idea is to just be clear what you want in your life and make it very clear that there is a thick wall that he will never cross with you. And that means just being very articulate and saying, no, there's no chance ever. It will never happen. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. If he doesn't leave you alone, then you might have to take further steps to make sure it happens. You might have to, I don't know, ask a police officer and say, he keeps showing up in my life and I tell him to leave me alone. They'll probably say, we can't do anything until he does something. I mean, that might happen. But at least you can talk to someone and at least tell them what's happening. Tell them that if you're feeling fear, that he keeps following you around, he keeps, you feel threatened by him. There might be something that you have to do that's beyond what you've done already, just to make it clear. Because I'm going to assume that maybe Jake's a little obsessed. People who are obsessed will not stop, or very rarely will stop, especially if they think there's a little chance. If there's a tiny, tiny chance that maybe you'll change your mind and want to get back together with them, they will continue the pursuit. And even when they don't see a chance, they try to create those chances. They'll show up where you are, and sometimes they'll say, oh, it was a coincidence. I didn't know you were here, even though they did. They'll plan things out. They'll try to go where you are and do what they can to convince you of whatever. So, yes, the bad news is he's not going to go away. There's too many connections. There's too many ties. Now, here's the second part of my answer, is that what is Luke's role in all of this? If you and Luke are a couple, what is he doing to thwart all of this? What is he doing to step in and go, no, this is unacceptable. You need to get over this, buddy. You need to step off. She's my girl. And you've probably heard me say this a few episodes ago. Hey, that's my girl you're trying to pursue here. She's mine. I mean, it sounds possessive when I say it that way. I didn't mean it that way, but you get the idea. She's with me. She doesn't want you. I don't know if Luke has this in him. He may be a very passive, calm person that doesn't want to fight, that doesn't want to confront. But with this type of person, Jake, in your life, you might need someone else to help you here. Hopefully that someone else is the person that wants to be with you and wants to protect you and wants you to be happy. So he will also do his part. He may have to talk to his parents and say, hey, look, don't talk to Jake about my girlfriend. Don't talk to Jake about our life or their life. What happened between them is in the past and it's over. Don't even get involved. Luke may have to step in that capacity. You know, that's if he is willing to do so. So you need to assess that if you are willing to be very clear, and Luke is willing to be very clear, and step into that role of you need to keep your distance. You need to follow your own life, follow your own path, find your own girlfriend, because this is mine. If that is not made clear, especially if Jake has this obsessive mentality, then he will continue to look for those slivers of hope and continue to pursue, no matter what. You just have to believe that this will continue. And I know that's not good news. It will continue because you need to know what you're facing. I need you to look inward and go, can I handle this for another 6 months? Can I handle this for another 6 years? What if it never stops? If it never stops because you're not clear, it's time to get clear. If you fear for your safety, it's time to get people involved that will help you feel safer. Whether that's the police, whether that's parents or other family. I mean, I remember a time when, I don't think I've ever told this story. I was driving my car And I had my girlfriend. I was like, I don't know, 17, 18, and she was like 16 or 17. And we were going along, and her ex-boyfriend pulls up behind us, and I saw his truck. And I'm like, hey, guess who's following us? And she's like, oh, great. And I sped up, and I went faster. And we were in New Hampshire at the time, so I'm going up and down hills, and I'm taking different mountainous roads, trying to get away from him. And then finally, we end up in her house, and we were not able to lose him. And I pull into her driveway. It's right off the main road. And instead of leaving him room to pull in, I just kept my back end in the road so he couldn't pull in. He ended up pulling in beside me somehow, got out of his truck, looked at me. He had rage in his eyes because here I am with his, quote, his girlfriend. They were broken up. It was over for them, but he did not like that. So what he decides to do is I think he punched my side window. It didn't break, but then he ran and jumped with both feet on my side window, and I was like, oh crap, he's going to break it. And he fell on the ground. It still didn't break. Thank you, 1977 Ford LTD, I think it was, or Ford Thunderbird or something like that. Those windows were tough. And again, he kicked it again, and he kicked it again, and I'm looking at him going, calm down, and I'll talk to you. Calm down. I was not a fighter back then. Even if I was, I probably didn't want to fight this guy. He just had rage. And I decided to just, you know, pull forward while he was still trying to get in, and we went to her house. And we ended up calling the police. Well, her ex-boyfriend's father just happened to be a police officer. He might have even been the sheriff or something. And what happened was when his father found out that we had to call the police on his son, his father, I hate to say this, beat the crap out of him. His father was really angry with his son for doing that. And he did something. He put the fear of God into his son. And so I found this out because a few days later, I was in town walking or skateboarding or something, and I saw him, and I was waiting for him to chase me down, and he didn't, and he didn't give me the mean look. And I went up to him because I wanted to find out what the status was. Is he going to continue to chase me down and beat me up? And he goes, no, everything's fine now. My dad talked to me and told me to leave you alone. And I was like, oh, okay, so we're cool. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, okay. It was a different side of him I hadn't seen. But later I found out that, yes, his father was very hard on him and said, do not beat up that tall blonde guy. Or whatever he said. And that was it. And we were able to move forward from it. But that wouldn't have stopped had we not gotten someone to interfere, to intervene, and put a stop to behavior that was unacceptable and dangerous. I mean, he was ready to just punch my lights out, and I didn't want to experience that, so I had no choice. I had to, like you did when you were younger, you called the police when you were getting hurt by your ex. So don't be afraid to let other people know that you feel safe with, that something is going on and you are feeling fear and this person isn't leaving you alone. Sometimes you have to do that. And you need to find out where Luke stands on all this. Because if Luke is like, hey, it's not my issue, that's your ex, I don't want to have to deal with this, then you might have to think if Luke is the person for you. I hate to say it, because you want someone that'll stand by you. I mean, he may not want to get involved and he has every right to say no, but you have to think what you want in your life. Do you want someone to stay out of it and just allow you to deal with this dangerous person? That's questionable. You know, I don't know where he stands with that. So that's something else. Now, as far as you needing to talk to Luke's parents or, you know, to tell them not to talk to Jake or anything, I don't know if that's your place. I hate to say it. I mean, you can, but from the way you wrote your letter, it sounds like you don't live with Luke. It sounds like maybe you're just seeing each other, but you don't live together. Like if you live together in your own place, then it would be a lot easier because no one else is around. But from the way you wrote your letter, I think what you mean is that Luke lives with his parents still. So there might be some ties that won't go away until further developments arise. For example, if you and Luke move out and get your own place, then you can lock it. You can put an alarm system on it. And, you know, you can go into a gated community if you want it. I mean, I don't know your resources, but you get the idea. You start to distance yourself from the people that are associated with Jake, and you create the environment that you want. I mean, you do the best you can. Someone who's obsessive doesn't stop. They won't. This is like when my girlfriend had a stalker guy calling her and texting her and knowing where she lived. She was really scared for her life. And the only way to get rid of him is doing no contact. They call it no contact, meaning no contact whatsoever. When they text, don't respond. When they leave a message, don't respond. When they call, don't respond. When they send you an email, don't respond. Just don't respond. And hopefully he eventually gets the message and goes, well, there's no reason to continue pursuing this person because they never respond. They never say anything. I get nothing from it. They will get something from it when you respond. Any response for the obsessive person is a good response for them. They go, oh, they responded. That means I got their attention. Anytime they get your attention, that gives them an open door to continue harassing you or following you or stalking you or whatever he does. So you want to be very careful what attention you give to him, because it might just be that. After you make it clear, do not contact me, do not call me, do not follow me, it's over, it's done, there's nothing left. I'm sorry, it's a cold answer, but it's true. Go away. After you're in that space, and then you show no response, you do no contact, and you might have to do it for a little while, then he's either going to disappear himself, or he might even go a little further, which means you need to have people that you feel safe calling or being with. So it's a tough situation, Rachel. I don't know exactly where else to take you there. If you're involved with people that are involved with Jake, then Jake will be involved in your life. The network cannot be severed unless everyone feels the same way as you do and they sever connections with Jake as well. It won't happen. So there is a level of acceptance that you have to come to in your life, knowing that Jake will always be around because of the ties that are in that network of people. If you and Luke decide to break ties with these people, or at least minimize them to minimize your exposure to Jake, then your life will probably get a lot better. But the way it is now, with so many people that know Jake and Luke and they're all connected, you're going to see him. There's just no way out of it. So I would say, as a final comment on this, is to do what you can to minimize exposure, which I'm sure you do. Get Luke fully on your side and move toward segregating yourself from certain people that don't mind having Jake around. I hate to say that, because I don't want you to say you need to get rid of good family members in your life. I don't want to say that. But if this relationship with Luke is that important to you, and Jake will continue to see other family members that are associated with either you or Luke, and you're going to be involved with those other family members, then you will have to accept that you will see Jake over and over again. Now, I will say something final. I thought I was done. The final thing I want to say is that maybe you can get to a point where seeing him doesn't bother you. This will really depend if he stops obsessing over you. If he stops obsessing over you and he knows it's over because you're clear, and then you continue to see him, there is a desensitization that takes place almost always. Again, if it's not stalking, not obsessing, there is a desensitization that can take place where you see him so often that you finally get to a point of, okay, we've crossed the threshold of sensitivities here and triggers and old patterns, and we realize, okay, we can finally see each other without that old zing coming back. Like, oh, zing, that hurts. Oh, I don't really want to see this person. You may still not like seeing him. There may be a lot of bad associations seeing him. But if you're going to see him over and over again, at least you can come to a somewhat amicable place where you can just go, hey, how's it going? Good. Good to see you. okay, bye, or not. But you get the idea, is that you see someone enough where you get to a point where you just kind of avoid each other. You know you're there. You know each other is there. But you know that at the same time, there's no chance that really you're going to come to any form of friendly communication again. It's just going to be amicable. It's just going to be neutral. You know, you're going to do your best to not talk. It's tough stuff, Rachel. I don't have the magic pill for this one. But there is a lot that you may need to do that creates a clear message and a large barrier so he doesn't get to you. And you may need help from Luke, your friends, people in authority, family that will be on your side, that you feel safe with. That's what I want for you. I want you to be safe. If you don't feel safe, even if you're with the love of your life, then maybe you shouldn't be in that situation. Because if you don't feel safe, how can you enjoy a lot of things in life? How can you enjoy a relationship? These are just questions to ponder and to help you make decisions that are right for you. I wish you the best, Rachel. Thank you so much for writing. And thanks for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. We'll be right back after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. Hey, I want to thank you. If you're using the Amazon link at theoverwhelmedbrain.com, that helps support the show and give back without really giving back. You use the link, you can buy something on Amazon, and Amazon sends us a few pennies for everything you spend. It helps the show and keeps us going, and it's a great way to say thanks. So thank you. I also want to thank Earthsbrew. Go to earthsbrew.com. And try out this delicious green tea that is designed to help you relax, relieve stress, and give you the clarity you need to make it through those moments. You know those moments. Earthsbrew.com. Use the code word BRAIN10 during checkout to get a discount. And thank you to patron members. If you go to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com, you can listen to a free episode. Have you heard it? It's one of many episodes in the patron program, where you can get those, you can get worksheets, you can get even email coaching and some video training over there, all kinds of goodies when you join the program. So check it out, patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. And if you haven't heard the A to Z of self-empowerment, yes, the Overwhelmed Brain book. It's got a gray binder, pinkish cover. It's personal growth for critical thinkers. It's basically the A to Z of self-empowerment, and that's where I want you to be. I want you to be empowered so that you can create the life you want. Go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or your favorite bookstore, or even the library. There's a way to get it for free. And check it out. It's The Overwhelmed Brain, Personal Growth for Critical Thinkers. And finally, I want to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And to close the show, I'm going to read you a quick message that, well, it's not that quick, but I have a pretty quick answer. I'll just read it to you, and this is from somebody I'm going to call, Melanie. Melanie says, "I'm so abundantly grateful for your show. Your wisdom has truly enriched my life. I've been a listener and promoter of your show for about a year." Thank you, Melanie. "I've started my journey to healing, but have a long way to go. My husband and I are separated. I've been doing pretty well since then. I've had time to clear my head and really think about things. I would say that one of the hardest things has been trying to navigate through my emotions and trying to understand what they mean." I'm with you, Melanie. That's not the end of the letter, but I just wanted to kind of interject that comment that when you're trying to navigate through all of the emotions that are going through your head, it's challenging. I mean, it's the epitome of the word overwhelm. All these emotions are coming up and all these thoughts are coming up. And just like any advice that you'd hear about overwhelm, when it comes to navigating through them, processing them, hopefully releasing them, at least the negative ones, I would highly recommend that you find one and focus on one and just go, okay, I'm sad. What is causing my sadness? Why am I sad? Let's explore my sadness. What's underneath that sadness? And there's all kinds of episodes where I talked about how to drill down into those emotions. But, you know, focus on one. Those others are always going to be there when you're ready to explore them, but just get in, dive into one and see where you get. You know, do some exploration yourself, try to understand it a bit more, or bottom line, just feel it. You know, I like to go into a place of, oh, I feel sad. Okay, let me just feel it then. Let me just feel it. Oh, this feeling sucks. I don't like it, but, you know, you're allowing yourself to feel it. You're not denying it. I especially don't want you to invalidate yourself and go, you know what, I have these negative feelings and I shouldn't have these negative feelings. No, you should. I know it's a bad way to put it, but yes, you have them, so have them. Let them come up. Experience them. Feel crappy for a little while. And then you'll eventually get bored of feeling that way, and then you'll realize, hey, I've given myself permission to have those feelings and those emotions. Now I can explore another emotion. So that was just a quick interjection with this letter. Let me continue reading it. She talked about her separation. Our relationship was toxic, and I was emotionally abused during our marriage. It really took us getting separated for me to realize the level of dysfunction in our marriage. We both have things that we are responsible for, and with our relationship not working out. But overall, he never wanted to contribute to the relationship, leaving me to many of the responsibilities that were overwhelming to me. Many times I was left to feel alone and not cared for, and he made sure that I knew everything was always my fault. I understand this behavior now as abuse and manipulation. I still love him, and I know he's on a journey of fixing himself too, but I'm not sure if he'll commit. I want him to be healthy and happy, but more than anything, I want this for myself. I actually go back and forth on whether we should work this out or if it's just too toxic. I really need to know, should I get a divorce or just move forward with my life? Or should I be patient as I have in the past and see if there's a chance for us? I love him, but he told me that he doesn't love me, and he hasn't done anything to show that he wants us to work. I think I know the right thing to do, but part of me keeps holding on. When there was an opportunity for us to go to couples counseling, he didn't want to go. And I know on your show you mentioned that if your partner doesn't want to do the work with you, it's probably not a good sign it's going to last. Please let me know if you have any suggestions for my next steps. I don't know if I've taken the time I needed to process everything and make an educated decision. I am immensely grateful to you and your show. I know this may be vague, but I look forward to hearing from you. All right, Melanie, thank you so much for sharing all that. It is not vague. It is pretty clear what's, well, at least from what you said. You didn't just tell me, hey, I'm having problems in my relationship. What should I do? That's vague. You were pretty clear. So for at least what I can give you for my insights or opinions here. First of all, one thing that you said that I just want to make clear in case nobody's ever heard me say is you said if your partner doesn't want to go to couples counseling with you, that it's probably over. And most of the time that is true, yes. That is an educated guess. I have not polled, I have not surveyed my audience. I have not found out if that's the case all the time. But I will say this, if you are in a relationship, it takes two to work things out. If you have someone that blames everything on the other partner, then you have a one-sided relationship, and the one person that always gets blamed is the one person that has to do all the work, which means the other person can do anything they want. Or they think there's no fault on their side, which means it will always be a one-sided relationship, and they'll always be a dominant and a submissive. Yes, it sounds like an S&M thing, but that's not what I mean. I mean that there's something my girlfriend likes to refer to as the power over model. When there's a partner that has power over you, that means that you will just have to submit if you want to keep the relationship. If they have power over you, then you're the one that can do no right, and they're the ones that can do no wrong. What kind of relationship is that? That's not equality. That is not someone taking responsibility for their role. Like you said, you've taken responsibility for your role. Great. When there's equality in a relationship, the other person doesn't point the finger. They come back to themselves and go, well, you know what? This is where I need work too. I need to be this way. I need to do these things. I need to say these things. I need to work on myself. I need to work on my behavior, because there's always work to do. And if you don't think there's work to do, like if you're the power over person, then you need to look at the fact that your partner is unhappy and go, wow, how am I doing that? How am I causing their unhappiness? And if your reply to me is, I'm not responsible for their happiness, I want you to be very clear in yourself what you're saying and what that means. Yes, technically you're not responsible for anyone else's emotions, but this is your partner. This is the one that you're going to spend, who knows, the rest of your life with. Or at least that's the plan, right? Because why else would you be in the relationship? So if you're going to spend the rest of your life someone and you see that your partner is clearly unhappy, what can you do to help them be happy? I am helping them be happy. I wash the dishes. I pay the bills. I do this and I do that. I point out when they're wrong. I point out everything that they need to do for their life. I help them. I try to fix them. All of these qualities that are making the other person wrong. The best kind of relationship is when both people can be humble and realize that there is something they need to work on in themselves. Now, Melanie, you said that he is starting to go to therapy. Hallelujah. That's great. And if that's the case, then maybe he will learn that there are things that he does that he needs to work on that he can shift about himself in a relationship, either with you or with anyone. You know, I don't know if that's what you want him with someone else, but let's just say that his growth only takes place when he gets away from you. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're the problem. It's that he has developed all these triggers and associations, and his dysfunctional behavior continues to exist because of you in his life, because he doesn't know how else to act with you. He may have gotten to the point where it was easy for him to be dysfunctional because you were, for example, so kind and compassionate. You know, it's weird, but a lot of emotionally abusive people will seek out kind, compassionate, generous, caring, friendly, you know, people that will allow them to do dysfunctional behavior. It allows them to be emotionally controlling and dominating, power over you. It allows that. So you don't have to change. You just have to work on yourself and your own self-esteem and your own self-worth and get back to a point where you feel better about yourself and know that it's not your fault that you are the way you are. Because I think all those qualities are fantastic. I'm assuming you have all those qualities, but that's typically what happens. When there's a power over model relationship like that, those qualities usually exist in the person that is in the more submissive role. The dominant one has the righteousness or the, I'm going to put some words out there that may or may not be true, arrogance, the pretentiousness, the holier than thou attitude where they're infallible. Nothing is wrong with me. It's all you. Well, I tell you what, if your partner's unhappy, then you do need to look inward and go, wow, how am I causing this? How am I causing this unhappiness? That's exactly what I had to do in my marriage. I had to look inward and go, wait a minute. If she's unhappy all the time, how am I causing this? Yeah, but I'm not responsible for her emotions. Wait. I could use that as an excuse, but what if I didn't? What if I said, what if I am the cause for her unhappiness? What if she's trying to love me and trying to make me happy, yet I'm not happy and I'm also causing her unhappiness because of my behavior? And I was highly judgmental. And yes, she could have said, hey, I don't want judgment in my life. I'm going to leave. But she didn't. She chose to stay and try to make it work. Yet my judgment was still there. Emotional abuse in several ways was still there. So she felt like she couldn't do anything. She stayed unhappy. I thought I was right. If only she changed, we'd be happy. And this caused all the pressure, all the downhill pressure, you know, someone's at the top of the hill throwing stuff down at you. It's all your fault. I'm rolling boulders down at you. You better dodge them. There's nothing that she feels she can do. So she eventually has to get out of the relationship because she feels so beaten up. And that's what happened in my marriage. It was always, I'm right, you're wrong, you change, I don't have to change. Yet when I changed, when I finally healed, she saw a different side of me. It was too late for us, didn't work out. She moved on, and I absolutely wish her well now. But in the moment, if I had seen that sooner, I could have changed things. But it just worked out the way it worked out, and that's what was, in my opinion, supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen so that I could become a better person. Just like you, Melanie, this may be what's supposed to happen so that he can become a better person. He may need to be away from someone as good as you so that he can realize what his involvement, what his role was. If he stays with you, he may never realize it. I'm not saying you should separate. That's a personal decision. I'm saying that what you need to do is realize that even if you do decide to wait, it could still be another 5 years. It could be another 20 years. And what if after 20 years, he's still not ready? Or because of your compatibilities or incompatibilities, or just the nuances of each of you, because those exist, that you are still triggers for behavior that is not helpful to your relationship, not beneficial. If those exist, then maybe the best course of action is to divorce. But let me throw this at you, is that let's just say that, okay, get a divorce, and now I'm moving on with my life. Does that mean you could never have a relationship with this person ever again? I think people see divorce as the finality of the entire relationship from that point on. I mean, there are people who have gotten divorced and then gotten back together again. I don't know if they got married again, but they got back together after the divorce because they learned a lot about themselves. And then they realized, hey, we had something great. We just messed it up in all these ways. Let's not mess it up again. Let's not do these things like we did before. Let's get together and just see what happens. That can totally happen. Just because there's a divorce doesn't mean there's a forever separation. It might, it could be that way, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't still take care of yourself and go in the direction that continues to be healthy for you. When I look at this email that you sent, I see, yes, you are in an emotionally abusive relationship from which you've said. There are things about your letter that I couldn't even read on the air because there are details I don't want to reveal that tell me that, yes, there's emotional abuse going on here. Doesn't mean he's purposefully abusing you. It could mean that he just has issues that he needs to deal with in himself, and you were there to be the recipient of those issues and in how he dealt with them. And you being there doesn't help him heal. Just like him being there doesn't help you heal. So from the gist of your letter, separation is a good path for both of you. You go your way, he goes his way. You work on yourself, he works on himself. Whether you divorce or not doesn't matter, because if it's meant to be and you really do have feelings for each other, then you can always come back together at a later point. But I will say this, if you don't start closing doors behind you and leave those doors open in hopes that things will work out, those open doors could affect your happiness. Those open doors could affect your emotional health, because you'll always think, well, if there's a chance, then I'm not going to go on this date. If there's a chance, then I don't want to move out of the city. If there's a chance, and then you become in the rut, then you get into stagnation, then you get into, I'm always leaving a door open just in case. I like to put myself in a place where there is no just in case. That's tough, because that means you might be giving up something that you could wait in 30 days it's here, or in 10 years it's here. How long are you willing to wait? I mean, you could put a mark in the calendar saying, okay, I'm going to wait 3 months. If nothing changes, divorce. Or if there's an upward progress and he wants to be with me and I want to be with him, okay, we'll work on it again. I like the idea of expiring something. This waiting time expires in 3 months. I'm out of here. Now, let me address one last thing, which is something, probably the most important thing you said, which is he told me he doesn't love me. He told me he doesn't love me. Okay, now you have something very clear to go on. And the second part of that is, I think I know the right thing to do, but part of me keeps holding on. And the very first thing that came to my mind is sometimes I hear from people and they just want someone else to say it for them. You just want me to say, then leave. Then get a divorce. Do it. Maybe you want me to say that. Maybe that'll corroborate what you feel. Why do you need this? Because after years of emotional abuse, it is hard to trust yourself. It's hard to trust your decisions because you've been made not to trust your own decisions. Because if you don't trust your own decisions, then the other person is the one you go to get those, quote, trusted decisions or solutions for your life. That's how an emotional abuser will set up a relationship. They will set themselves up as the hero, as the person with the answers, as the person who knows all. So that when you make a decision and they tell you that you're wrong, you have to come back to them, and now you're under their wing. You're under their power. And when you're under their power, you're underpowered. I could segue into that, right? You're underpowered. You're disempowered. You have no power. So being able to make decisions that you can trust in you is empowered. Being able to make decisions that you know are right for you is empowered. Your letter comes from a disempowered place. In the sense, I mean, yes, you are empowered. You're doing the right things. But the idea that I think I know the right thing to do, but part of me keeps holding on. That part of you is the part that wants to be loved, that wants to be nurtured, that wants to be supported, that wants all of these things that you cannot get and haven't gotten from him. So I want you to keep all of this in mind, because what you need in a relationship is not what you're getting in that relationship. Doesn't mean it could never happen with him, that particular person, but what you want to do is focus on what you need to do for you so that you are the best person that you can bring into a relationship. So when there are signs of emotional abuse, you can go, whoa, that's not right for me. And that is empowering. So I hope this helps you. I want you to be empowered. How do you do that? You keep an open mind and be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. If you're always taking steps to grow and evolve, you will find that power and feel that power beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, not only are you powerful, you are amazing.